Hiya, hiya, everybody, and welcome in. It's time for Three Guys Before the Game, the post-Kansas edition. Thanks so much for being with us. Here we go. Mountaineers have elevated the record up to 5-0. They are now number 6 in the country. And my policy is always this. Whenever West Virginia gets in the top 7 nationally, I always wear a blazer. That's, I think, is when you get into the rarefied air of the aristocracy of college football, you got to wear a blazer. So that's what I'll do until West Virginia is no longer in the top 7 nationally. I hope I have the blazer on for the rest of the year. Joining us on the program, once again, the Senator, Brad Howe.
Hello, Tony.
Hello there. And the Dean, Hoppy Kercheval.
Howdy, Tony.
Good to have you guys with us.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So, here's the scenario, folks. West Virginia, as you all know, is now undefeated at 5-0, 3-0 in loop play. And coming up on Saturday, it's the Iowa State Cyclones, which is a whole different story that we'll talk about later this week. But this program is dedicated to looking back at West Virginia's 38-22 win over the Jayhawks of Kansas. It was an interesting afternoon, to say the least, at the stadium, West Virginia, before beautiful weather conditions, 57,000 plus, all wearing gold. The scene was set, and West Virginia wins the game, but people come out of that game and they go, but it could have been by even more points. We begin with the question, did West Virginia have a bad game? Did West Virginia have a typical game for what the situation was, or should we be concerned?
Oh, there's a lot to unpack there. West Virginia, there had a couple bad plays that made it appear that it was a bad game. How about if I say that?
Interesting.
I mean, you go back. I went back today and watched the whole game on the offensive side again. West Virginia absolutely whipped them up and down the field in the first half offensively, save for the 3 red zone picks. So you take those back, even if those turn into field goals, that's a totally different game and a different feel. So give Kansas credit for what they did. Their defensive backs played better than they had all season. Their defensive line did some things. But that's a few plays away from being what we thought that game would be. So I don't think you sound the alarm bells just yet. How about that for an answer?
You don't, but certainly there were a lot of there were concerns there. And Tony, you just talked about it earlier today on my public affairs program.
Sure. Thanks for the invitation, by the way. Thank you.
And that is the offensive line, particularly the right guard position. I mean, Will Grier is the two things about that. One is Will Grier is the franchise. What do you do when you have the franchise?
Protect the franchise
at all costs. Mm-hmm. And Will Grier, you know, he threw some bad balls there on Saturday, but some of those he was under pressure. So there are contributing factors to that, and Kansas played pretty well. That's number one. Number two, you can't run the football as well as you'd like to run the football. They're averaging like 168 yards a game, but you can't count on the run, particularly when you get down inside the red zone. West Virginia has just 6 rushing touchdowns this season, and I think that means something going forward when they get into tough games. If you can't run the ball effectively, I don't care how good you are passing.
Old school, here it comes.
Well, that is old school. Now, you know who disagrees with you, Kercheval? The greatest college football coach to ever live. Just this weekend, Nick Saban said, do they give you more points for running it in via they give you more points on a touchdown if you run it or if you throw it?
Well, who am I to disagree with Nick Saban?
But West Virginia ran it pretty well Saturday, though. They ran for nearly 200 yards. I think, like we've talked before, if West Virginia can do enough to make people respect the run, I think that's all it has to do. You did see some interesting formations to try and help with that, though. You saw more double tight ends. You saw Trayvon Wesco in the backfield a little bit trying to help out on that right guard position. They went I formation with Letty Brown at the fullback, Tony, and it worked on a 3rd-and-1. You gave it to Letty Brown up the middle. So you could see that, yes, that's a concern, obviously, for West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen,
Jake,
as well.
Texas.
Yeah, they're working on that. They're giving you different looks and trying to correct some of that. So, yeah, I'm with you. Offensive line play was the biggest concern for me coming out of that game, but also some of that's because you got a 3rd-string right guard in there. I mean, most teams, if you're going with your 3rd-string offensive lineman, you're going to struggle a little bit.
Not Iowa State with its 3rd-string quarterback, but that's a different story.
Save that for Thursday. That'd be Brock Purdy you're referring to. Yeah. Brock Purdy.
Brad is going to have 20 minutes worth of stats and information on Brock Purdy by Thursday.
I got
show.
It. Heck, I got it now. If we want to do another podcast, I got it.
No,
we liked Puka last week. I'm on Brock Purdy this week.
By the way, fellas, nice job on your over 125 yards for Puka. Very nice. Now, if you took what he got,
total yards.
Yeah, well, no, if you took what he rushed for and doubled it, you'd be 5 yards over 125.
You know what I did?
And by the way, did David Long have 20 tackles?
No, he wasn't even close. He had 10. So good call on your over-under number there. We could have given you 12 over-under, and you missed that, so you weren't even close on that. You know what was interesting about Kansas? I went into this game
You're on
thinking,
fire today, by the
well,
way.
Well, I thought I went into this game thinking Kansas might be one of the worst offensive football teams I'd ever seen. I think I was too nice to him. I think I was too nice to him last week, man. I mean, that off Tony Gibson's group did a really good job. Derek Pitts was good. They did some nice things. That offense is not good. They're not good, Tony.
The best play was the illegal fake punt was their best play.
They should have given it to Puka Williams, direct snap it, throw it to him, everything. They were not good offensively.
West Virginia hasn't beaten anybody who's any good. I'm not saying that West Virginia's not good. I do believe they are. They play like an elite team much of the time, but they haven't beaten anybody who's any good. And we keep talking, we keep looking to November. I mean, this schedule at some point is going to get a lot tougher. And it starts this week, frankly. It gets tougher.
Yeah. Again.
All right. We'll wait.
You guys jumping on Thursday. This is Kansas. We're talking about Kansas. I mean, we're talking about Kansas. Some individual performances from the game. Letty Brown goes over 100 yards for the first time in his career. End up averaging almost 10 yards per carry, 107 on 11 totes for him. Kennedy McCoy averaged over 4 yards. But let's go back to that offensive line. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a glamour position, because it's not a sexy spot, a lot of people just kind of, they don't really care about the offensive line. But to underscore your point, so what's happened here at right guard is this. It's been an issue before the season ever began. That is how Joe Brown came in as a transfer and immediately was ordained as the starting right guard day one. And they think, okay, we're fine. And Brown goes in there and he's physically, condition-wise, he needed to get in shape. And so they kind of rotated with he and Chase Barrett initially. Then they're totally good for Brown. He gets hurt. So they go and they go Barrett. And Barrett played well enough against K-State to get the start the next week against Texas Tech. But they didn't like the way that he played against Texas Tech. And they thought that in the 20 snaps that Isaiah Hardy took, that he played better than Barrett. So this week, Hardy, who is a guy they wanted to redshirt and not use for the 4 games, he becomes the starter. And Brown not around. So that doesn't work well. So they get to the point where they've got to take Jacob Bucciagrossi, who's a center, and move him for some snaps at right guard. Which just tells you, at this point in the season, when you're doing that, you got a situation. And so I do think it's hindering what West Virginia wants to do, and it certainly impacted the fact that Will Greer got sacked 4 times in that game. And, Senator, you were watching tape, and you saw a couple of absolute missed-blown assignments which got Greer sacked because guys just aren't communicating or comfortable where they are on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's just inexperience. I mean, you're asking a center in Bucciagrossi to slide over and play guard, and Kansas, to their credit, they would shift into a 4-man front at times, which puts guys over the guard's position where there was some access, and then they were running a bunch of twists where they're sliding their defensive linemen around each other and forcing linemen to say, all right, which guy do I have? And a couple times there were just blown assignments that led to a defensive guy streaming right in on top of Greer. So if you do that 2 or 3 times and a half, it throws 3 drives completely out of whack, and you see West Virginia slow down and score 38 points instead of really the 66 that were available out there. There were a lot of points, and West Virginia just couldn't capitalize on every drive.
And the problem is that other teams now get a book on that, and now you have an identified weakness. And other teams do, too, so you're preparing for the other team. But still, you have an identified weakness on the offensive line that other teams that are good can exploit.
Well, Kansas did, right? You saw that against Texas Tech, as you just pointed out. Kansas identified that and said, all right, we're going to do that. So play that out. What happens then? If they're able to get pressure on Greer with 3 or 4 guys up front, what can they do with the defensive backs? Yeah. They can drop all of them in coverage, which we saw, which led to when Greer tried to force in there and made some ill-advised decisions, which you don't see from him very often, but he's so confident in getting the ball to those receivers, he forces it in where there's double coverage, where if you're having to bring 6 or 7 guys on a blitz, those are more available. So it all kind of works in concert.
The good news is Joe Brown is supposed to be back this coming week. He was working off sideline there on Friday over at practice, and they thought that he'd be back. So if he comes back in, he's healthy and good to go, that will be huge for that offensive line. All right, defensively, this team, and I know what you're going to say is that Kansas is horrible offensively. However, you got to give Gibby's group credit again. He goes out there week in and week out. I mean, it was last week when I saw Gibby, he was almost looked like he had seen a ghost watching Puka on tape. Mm-hmm. And they did a nice job. They hold him to 65 yards quarterback-wise. They were able to force two more interceptions, tackles behind the line of scrimmage, doing well at that, as they have all season long. How about this little factoidular, guys? As a team now, West Virginia is in the top 25 in scoring offense and in scoring defense. That makes West Virginia just one of five Power 5 teams in the country to rank top 25 in both. WVU 22 offensively at 41 a game and 25th nationally, giving up just under 19 points per game.
Yeah, 18.6 points a game. They're ahead of TCU, and you always identify TCU as a good defensive team because of Gary Patterson. So credit to Gibby and his staff there, and the defense has played well. But again, you have to put an asterisk there, Tony, because of the quality of the teams you've played. You haven't played very good offensive teams. In fact, you've played teams that are really poor offensively for the most part. I don't think none of the teams you've played stand out offensively.
Well, none. Texas Tech would be the only one, and you got their third-string quarterback in there for the second half. You're right. These offensive teams that West Virginia's faced are not good.
Except Texas Tech.
But the positive is at least West Virginia has dominated each of them, except that second half of the Texas Tech game. West Virginia has absolutely locked up each and one of these teams. Defensively, for me, I go to look at some of the playmakers. That's what we always talk about, is who on this defense was going to step up besides David Long and be a real playmaker. Look at this game in particular. Derek Pitts was very, very good with three tackles for loss.
Outstanding.
Javonte Stewart in there with a 1.5 tackles for loss. Hakeem Bailey, 1.5 tackles for loss and an interception. So there's some names out there that we've talked a lot about Javonte Stewart because it's because of the position change, not so much performance. Derek Pitts we've talked a lot about because he's a Charleston native, not because of performance. Those guys stepped up and had really good games, I thought.
Derek Pitts was named defensive champion by the coaching staff. He was flying. Now, how much of that is because it was Kansas or how much of that was I'm back at safety. I'm totally comfortable here. Let me go get it.
Yeah.
He was torquing downfield. That was good to see.
Yeah, it was very good to see.
It was absolutely good to see. And West Virginia continues to make tackles behind the line of scrimmage defensively. West Virginia is, again, up there among the nation's best in TFLs. And so that's a good sign. Some Will Greer notes for you. Despite the fact that he did have the picks this week, he's still one of two quarterbacks in the country to have thrown three or more touchdowns now in five consecutive games. He's also one of two quarterbacks in the country to throw for over 300 yards in every game this season. So,
well, you know, great quarterbacks, like Brad said, they think they can make every pass. So you're going to have some of those. You're going to have some of those where you have multiple interception games. But I listened to you guys talk about it Saturday, Brad, and you were saying, but you never think about putting somebody else in. I mean, there's no question that you like. It's just like he's the guy. He just, okay, was off a little bit. He got pressured, some other things. Kansas did some things, but it's still like, okay, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Here's how good he is. His bad game is 332 yards and four touchdowns, and that's his bad game.
And he felt like he missed some passes, right? Had the red zone picks, overthrew a 68% completion percentage. I mean, that's the thing. The bar is so ridiculously high. He just made some bad decisions because you thought you could make plays that you've made your whole career. How about the diversity of this offense, though, with him? I mean, you're really seeing some things now. As we talked, they're starting to mix in some more formations, do different things. You had two touchdown passes to running backs on Saturday, two different running backs, and a touchdown catch alert for the tight ends. Javonte Haskins gets it. If you go back and watch that play design, Kansas had no clue that Javonte Haskins might catch a pass. He came from the right side, came across the left, and caught it and went in the end zone basically untouched. There wasn't a single Kansas defender that looked at Javonte Haskins as a receiver for more than not even a half a second. He was wide open.
Well,
great play design, and then great execution.
But how many guys? You got a lot of guys to watch.
So 10 different receivers. 10 different receivers now have caught touchdown catches. The most under Dana Holgorsen since he's been here.
10 receptions now on the season by tight ends. So I'm 25 away. And I think they're just warming that door
I think
up.
They are just warming up.
I think they're just warming up. I think that 35.
That's a big number because, and if you want to talk about weapons, We've seen David Sills be the best receiver on the field. We've seen Gary Jennings be the best receiver. I argued Marcus Sims was the best receiver on Saturday. I spent 20 minutes trying to argue that he was the best receiver. Simmons was the best receiver on the field Saturday.
And what happens when you spread the field like West Virginia does laterally and you got, you know, three guys out here, one guy out there, the tailback might come out. And you got two deep like Kansas played. What's open? What's open? Middle of the field, right?
Oh, yeah. And you saw it against Kansas.
Yeah,
you saw him running the ball against Kansas up the middle of the field because they were taking their safeties and splitting the safeties. That's the best job anybody's done with David Sills. But because they did what? They took a safety. At one point, we were watching that. Steve Dunlap pointed out. We chortled in the studio because they had Sills in the slot. They took a safety and walked him over. There were two guys right up against Sills saying, you're not catching it on this time. We've not seen that before.
Yeah. This edition of Three Guys Before the Game is brought to us by Daniel's Men's Store of Morgantown. Our man, fine-looking Phil, has one mission in life. And that's to make West Virginians look absolutely beautiful. And by virtue of listening to this podcast, you've got something special for you. All you have to do is stop by this week to Daniel's Men's Store here on University Avenue in Morgantown and tell fine-looking Phil, Three Guys Before the Game, I'm a fan. And he will give you 30% off all WVU gear. And he's got a ton of it. So 30% off all WVU gear for listening to Three Guys Before the Game. Just go to Daniel's Men's Store here in Morgantown and University Avenue and tell fine-looking Phil, I listen to Three Guys Before the Game. Give me my 30% off, and he'll get it for you on all WVU apparel.
He's got a big selection, too. Keeps putting stuff out each week. That's a good deal.
That's why
is it? How much off? 30% off.
30% off.
Nearly one-third.
Yeah,
all right, so you just walk into Daniel's.
Now, if it costs $9.99, it would only cost $6.66.
It would.
Yeah, that's
okay,
all.
That's a good deal.
Done.
Yeah. All right, so go into Phil. Tell him Three Guys
Before the game.
Good, that's
all
good.
All you have to do with Phil. Okay, so jumping ahead here, boys and girls. I think in the meeting rooms at WVU this week, and you touched on this earlier on, they got a coach now. Get me what I'm saying here. I think because of that offensive line situation and the way that it is right now, and I think you're right that they used more tight end packages this past week, they got to go, okay, guys, we got a situation. What is our best possible scenario? And I think these guys will get it. I think they're totally capable. This is a good week for coaching for WVU to try to offset what they think may be something that other teams are going to be able to feast upon.
Well, isn't this what self-scout was designed for? And in a weird way, stay with me here, in a weird way, maybe these last two games or this last game and a half actually help West Virginia, because you're right, they've played teams that they've been better than and it hasn't been really that close. But you've been pressed a little bit in the last couple weeks in situations that now you can see it on film. Now you're 5 weeks in, you can say, all right, what do teams do against us and how do we counter that? And I think you've seen that, and that's why you start to see it in the second half with Wesco dropping into the backfield a little bit. They said, all right, we need somebody to help back here. If one of these linemen breaks free, how do we adjust with that? We're going to put Wesco back here and aid in the blocking. You haven't seen that much.
That's true, because you have an opportunity to coach them up and make adjustments. You'd like to not have to do that, though, right? I mean, you like to be solid in those positions. To be elite, it's not just about coaching them up, but it's not having injuries. It's having solid people and two deep in all positions. I mean, all these things have to come together. So these weaknesses start to get exposed. And, you know, can you coach around that? Can you coach around your weaknesses?
Sure.
When you come up against really good teams?
I mean, doesn't every team in the country not named Alabama do that? I mean, truly, Alabama's playing at an absolute different level, but you start to look down, go down everybody else, and you look around and go, well, they can be exposed, they can be exposed, they can be exposed. In fact, West Virginia's the only team in the country that's led for every minute of every game. The only team in the country. They were down to two. Georgia fell behind 3-0 to Vanderbilt this weekend. So West Virginia has led every minute of every single game, but point still remains high. You're right, you'd like to not have to do that, but I think everybody has to do that at some point. West Virginia's point is now. It starts.
During the game on Saturday, I received harassing text messages from some people that were giving me crap because I said during the broadcast last week on our Three Guys Before the Game, I said, I guarantee you they'll come out in the second half and they'll lay wood and they will not take their foot off the gas. Well, obviously, situations come up. However, great indication that they don't care what the score is. the last drive offensively for West Virginia.
I was going to get your back on this. Go ahead. Yeah.
So West Virginia says, okay, boys, first and 10 after West Virginia stopped them on fourth down and 19. They get the ball at the Kansas 30. They go, okay, on the ground, Pettaway, 13 yards. So now it's first and 10, West Virginia at the Kansas 17. Mm-hmm. So you're up here in this game. You're cooking along. The easy thing to do is what? You're leading 31.
Run clock, hand the ball off up the middle. Off. Take a field goal if you have to.
Instead, it's like, the heck with that. David Sills, go down to that corner where you live. They should rename that back pylon. Like, when he's done, they should have like a little, at least a bobblehead doll of David Sills on the top of the pylon of that, because he just made a living.
Yep.
And Greer just says, here, fine, go get it. I think that was at least what I was talking to you guys about. They're going like, the hell with this. We're scoring every time we get a chance. Yeah,
I would love to attack you whenever possible. On this one, I get your back. I said the same thing on our broadcast. That was a great indication of that, because you're right. That's a very easy situation to run it. If you don't get it, kick a field goal. And they did not. They said, forget this. We're going to try and throw it in the end zone. That's what we do.
And plus, Dana was raising questions about the trick play. Thus begins the great rivalry between West Virginia and Kansas.
You know, that wasn't
he did call it a high school play.
Yeah, he did.
So said it at halftime, and he said it in postgame.
I don't think he liked it.
Remember, you got to go to Lawrence next year.
Here's the thing, though. To get David Beatty's back a little bit, man, he hadn't won on the road in 10 years. I don't care if you're David Beatty.
Try anything.
I would have drop-kicked it. I mean, I would have done everything. Absolutely.
I mean, why? Yeah, you're trying to do it. You can't just line up and beat anybody.
That poor team.
Right? So just try to do something.
Hey, how about this, man? So how would you like to be him? Number one, your AD has to come out after your first game, right? And then the new AD, Jeff Long, brings in a consultant to look at the program to see how it's operated. And from what I understand, like, the consultant, like, is there, like, doesn't go to the bathroom with the coaches, but pretty much does everything else. And has a suit on all the time. It looks like a retired FBI agent.
He's just an auditor. He's in there auditing.
Arms are crossed just like this, like just watching everything, right? And the AD sits in during the post-game locker room interview with the head coach. I mean, you talk about sweat coming off the back of your head. So I think those guys came into this game and went, the hell with this, because there was speculation. They're off this week. If they got bombarded, it might have been announcement today, interim head coach comes in, and we get their first pick at our
coach. It would have been a race between Jeff Long at Kansas and Lincoln Riley, who has removed his defensive coordinator, Mike Stoops, after a terrible defensive performance for Oklahoma in the Red River showdown, shootout, rivalry, whatever they call it.
Yeah, rivalry.
I heard him say showdown now. They moved to showdown, I think.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
But anyway, he's out. They did enough to save their job for another week. But
I think so.
That staff's changing over.
Yeah.
That staff's changing over.
When you have the consultant come in and he's around, you know the decision's been made. That's to cover your backside to say, we did our due diligence.
Yeah.
We followed this program closely, and we've made a decision based on the evidence. So it looks like, and that is the right thing to do. It looks like you're doing your job.
However, it is kind of comical that on the day that Dana ties Art Pappy Lewis for third all-time in victories at West Virginia, that he was hacked off over twice. He went, high school plays. High school, you want to use that? Fine.
I laughed. That was good.
Tony, you brought that to my attention, so I did the research on that, and I think he won his 58th.
Yeah, Pappy, by the way, used to wear a blazer.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. So he ties Pappy Lewis. And in fact, I think in losses, they're about the same, too, somewhere in the mid-30s, something like that. But think about that for a second. Is that, you know, Dana came here under really bizarre circumstances. The bungling
of removing a stew.
The worst management decision ever made, but nevertheless. And then it's taken a while for West Virginians to warm to Dana Holgorsen, for Dana Holgorsen to warm to West Virginia. And he's tied Pappy Lewis, and he's, I think Rich has 60. So he's going
needs
to pass.
I think he needs three more.
Yeah. So he's going to become the second all-time winningest coach. West Virginia's been playing football since the 1890s. Become the second all-time winningest coach at West Virginia probably this year. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it probably will be this year.
And he did it. I mean, he couldn't have been put in, to be quite honest with you, he could not have been put into a worse situation. Not only did you come in there as this ill-advised, just stupid coach-in-waiting situation, you also were changing leagues. It was a whole different deal, and so it was hard, man. There's no question, and so he needs to be happy
And yet 8 years later,
you know what he always says to me? He goes, you never thought I'd still be here, did you?
I'm not sure he thought he would still be here 8 years later.
And I go like, no,
if you're being honest.
I mean, that's, you know, he is one thing about him. I know that he's now tightened up even more about letting players talk to the press and that's issue. But he is, if you listen to him, you listen to his press conferences, he'll tell you a few things, you know, not all the time, in interviews with you, Tony, and he really is a pretty interesting guy, and he's a different bird. Of course, it's a lot easier to say that when he's winning, when you win a lot of games, but it might turn out to be this really sort of strange, odd bedfellows fit at West Virginia, strangely enough.
And this is the year to make some noise. They're now the last undefeated team in the league. The thing has opened up just as we thought it might. There's weaknesses across the board in this league. I know West Virginia's not a perfect team, but this thing is there for the taking if they keep moving forward.
You know, remember a year or two ago when we looked at Dana and said this year is going to determine whether he's going to be around or not, and he really salvaged his job and things improved. November is going to be huge for him and for this program. Because it is all laid out for you, and the expectations are going to continue to be high. If you have a great November, it's like, oh, things are really trending upward now. What if you have a lousy November? It's going to be the rare opportunity that comes along only once every three decades that got away from you. Yeah. So the stakes are really, really high in November.
Well, I think they're really high for a couple reasons, because I think this is a chance for him to maybe get an extension off of this. Or I don't know if there's any other jobs that are available that are going to be better than the one he's currently got. But if he has a big season this year, and this is a Big 12 championship season, Shane Lyons' phone's going to be ringing from his agent. It may already be ringing. So you've got that there. You've got, what's Tony Gibson's situation going to be following this year? I mentioned that Oklahoma opening. Don't be surprised if his phone starts ringing in connection with that job as well. So this is a critical year for West Virginia as a program, not just in this particular season, but I'm talking down the road the next few years.
Gibby, I don't think looks good in crimson. Just crimson and cream. I don't think those are as much better off.
I don't think so. He's a golden blue guy.
Much better off. The Van Man, golden blue, I think is much better off. It sets itself up. And with Texas's victory over Oklahoma, West Virginia is in the driver's seat, as everyone knows. And nationally, West Virginia, not given a ton of credit or chance after the Oklahoma loss. People are saying Texas is now in the driver's seat, and West Virginia this or that. So here you go, man.
Perfect.
It's a classic
scenario.
West Virginia setup, right?
Perfect. Yep.
Tell West Virginia as a state, and tell West Virginia as a program, you got a nice little run here, nice little start. This will be a good scenario. And I'm just telling you, Saturday is going to be absolutely unbelievably difficult for West Virginia.
It's a challenge.
This scenario, I've been there. I feel it. I know it. Those fans were just great at Iowa State when
great
it was
fans.
120 below centigrade. And you don't think after they beat Oklahoma State, nighttime game, new quarterback, David Montgomery, I'm sure, will be back and healthy. Oh, this is going to be it, man.
Well, they've got some new uniforms floating around out there, too. They may pop out this week to go with a night game. They've got some black uniforms that they're all I haven't heard that they're going to do that yet, but be aware for that. That always gets everybody excited. But here's what you'll see a billion times leading up to this game. When Oklahoma State went in there with Casey Whedon, what were they, number three in the country on a Thursday night? Brandon Whedon. Yeah. What did I say? Casey. Knocked them off, big win. So you're going to hear about, you always hear about Hilton Magic on the basketball side. They're going to talk about this on the football side.
Oh, yeah.
West Virginia, again, more Thursday, but West Virginia's got two upcoming games here against teams that have struggled to win that are both tricky. Neither of these next two are going to be the Kansas situation here. You're going to have to play better to get a win. I know that's an obvious statement. That's going to start Saturday.
Today's program has been brought to us by Daniel's Men's Store in Morgantown, located on University Avenue, and a special opportunity for you as a podcast listener. This week, drop by Daniel's and just go in and say, I'm looking for fine-looking Phil. I listened to Three Guys Before the Game, and by virtue of that, you are granted a disposition of 30% off. Is that the right word, Hoppy? Disposition? Could I use it for that?
Disposition. No, I don't think
so.
No,
it didn't sound right when it came out. Anyway, fine-looking Phil will give you, you know what I meant. In the church, they give a dispensation? Is that a dispensation? The hell with it. You'll get 30% off at Daniel's Men's Store, University Avenue. I'm getting out of here, man, because I'm done.
You just threw a red zone pick yourself right there.
He was ready to score.
Right,
one thing out.
Hey, but you know what I did? I ran it down, and I tackled the guy that intercept. That was a heck of a play as well.
It was, but don't do that. That made me nervous for Will Grier.
Brought to us by Three Guys Before the Game, or brought to us by Daniel's Men's Store.
I don't know, but he got his hand
in there.
The pads. I was a little worried about the hand. Don't do that.
We're out. See you.